Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Sandy Springs, Georgia, it's time for Sandy Springs Business Radio. Now, here's your host.
Lee Ganter here with Rachel Simon. This episode of Sandy Springs Business Radio is brought to you by Connect the Dots Digital. When you're ready to leverage LinkedIn to meet your business goals, go to connectthedots.digital. Rachel, great show today. How are things in your world?
It's eclipse day.
Eclipse day. So, you got big plans?
I'm going to sit in my driveway see what happens.
Don't look.
Don't look up. Now we have a great show today. Very excited to have our guest, Gloria Ganter, who is the VP of Operations for Atlanta and the Southeast region of the Association for Corporate Growth. Super cool, amazing organization doing incredible things here in the Southeast. So, Gloria, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Gloria, tell us a little bit about ACG for folks who don't know.
Yeah. ACG actually has a brief four-word mission of driving middle market growth. We are locally about a 600-member organization, 15,000 members throughout a 59-chapter association headquartered in Chicago. Locally, you know, we our members allow us to facilitate great networking and content events for them to help drive business growth.
And then how do you define middle markets for folks, just so they get
exactly. Yeah. Locally, we define middle market as 15 million in revenue, and that's gross revenue to a billion in revenue. National Center for Middle Market defines it as 10 million to a billion. Atlanta's business community and the great venture work that is done here through some other organizations. We play nice together and in our sandbox of growth equity, but really focus more on the private equity versus Series A and venture funding.
So what are the kinds of companies that you tend to work with that are members of the organization?
Yeah, the membership base is you know, really split up amongst corporate members. We do the Georgia Fast 40 Awards, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later, which for us is really great. It gives us connectivity into those really the growing industries here in Atlanta and in Georgia. You do have to be headquartered in Georgia. But the rest of our members are a makeup of advisory services roles of accounting, legal, consulting, as well as our private equity friends and investment bankers as well. And all of those kind of consulting roles that touch a merger or acquisition.
So you're helping to facilitate relationships between the company and then those.
We're the matchmaker. Yeah. The matchmaker of the, of the group. So we put about 25 events on a year locally and throughout the country based. You know, we typically are not industry specific. We pretty much play in a generalist space, but ACG as a global organization will do some more specific content events for specific markets.
Yeah, I was spending a little time just looking at the kinds of events that you're putting together, and it's sort of a mix of, you know, educational, but also fun. Like you're going to the Braves game.
Exactly. We have a Braves game tomorrow, actually, hopefully. And then actually our newest kind of social event, we're doing a putting social on Thursday. Hopefully the weather holds out for us, but for the first day of the Masters for folks that can't go to Augusta. And then, you know, kind of our next big content event is May 7th. We have, we will be announcing our Georgia Fast 40 honorees that evening, but also have a really great fireside chat with Yum Arnold of Leapfrog Services, who also happens to be president of the board of the Federal Reserve, and Paula Takac. I'm hoping I pronounce her name right. Who's the chief economist with the Federal Reserve Bank for our members and guests as well.
So where do you see, because like that mix of social, but also like educational value content, speak to the value of the social components of it. Like, how does that help facilitate the mission?
The social component really is to drive our mission is that relationship business. You know, we are all about relationships and you fostering and building your network is an emerging leader. If you're new to the, or just in general, new to the industry of mergers and acquisitions, 75% of our members do business with one another throughout their membership life. So it's are you going to get a deal on the first day? Probably not, but you build those relationships going forward for your business growth and your client growth.
That's amazing statistics. Yeah. 75%.
Right. I mean, and it's, you know, we do keep our dues are a little bit higher, but it's the right people, I think, that you want to meet in the city, in the country that are, you know, in the mergers and acquisition space.
Yeah. As my business coach would say, they meet the red velvet robe policy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I start using that one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. She's always like, do your clients. Does this person meet your red velvet robe mm-hmm. policy? Because not everybody.
No. That's a really good. And those folks will, you know, we'll, you know, anybody that wants to come check us out and see an event, we will absolutely. But if you're the one that does not necessarily meet the red velvet robe, you know, they'll weed themselves out pretty quickly.
Yeah. So you've been with ACG for almost a decade. What are some of the trends that you've seen over the last 10 years?
You know, it's been, now that I've been with ACG in a decade, seems like a really long time.
sorry to
wow,
make you.
Thanks. I mean, it's to be, you know, it's the best job I've ever had. But what I love about it, and the trends that I've seen, it's interesting from the networking space. We got to a point, and I don't know if it was pre-COVID. COVID's kind of that draw line for me. We're now just kind of getting out of, folks are starting to realize the importance of building a network. We had emerging professionals and your young, what you want to call young leaders, whatever you want to call them, the importance of building that got away for a couple of years, that they were just heads down doing work, not realizing that they were going to have business development goals or other things put on them. I had a lawyer say to me at one point, if I had known the law was going to be the easiest part of my job, I would have probably rethought what I've done with myself. So I think that for me is the biggest trend is just building your network and realizing the value of who you know and who you can meet in the city, especially, you know, as transient as Atlanta can be, on those pieces.
I mean, you're speaking my language right there with the whole building your network. And, you know, obviously from my vantage point with LinkedIn, like just it's so hard to keep up with people. And so making a concerted effort to track and kind of follow up with, I haven't talked to so-and-so in a while. I should reach out to them.
And taking that time to go through and be like, who in my network, especially when it comes to, you know, award season or whatever, you know, who am I connected to, you know, from a CEO, CFO perspective that I can invite to these events that I can do that puts them in the room with their peers, as well as, you know, some business connectivity with advisor partners that they can meet.
Yeah. I mean, there's the value of your own network, but then you become a valuable commodity mm-hmm. when you can bring people together and introduce them.
Now, when you have a constituents that range from 15 million to a billion, how do you create programming that kind of brings them all together? Because they each have different kind of objectives, goals, and needs from the organization.
Absolutely. We, you know, from a social, you know, networking perspective, Sheer Social is Sheer Social. That kind of touches everybody. When it comes to content, a lot of the challenges that we hear from our CEOs and CFOs and C-suites that we talk to are relatively similar. Talent, huge issue. Can't find the right people. Not sure where we're going to find them. There aren't enough of, you know, just all of those pieces. And then we can kind of tailor, you know, for the folks that are already equity backed, we do some roundtables for corporates that are private equity backed because they have a whole different set of challenges and reporting and all sorts of pieces there. Growth is growth, whether it's organic or acquisitive. We also do roundtables for corporate development professionals, so strategic acquirers that are buying throughout the life cycle. So we really, you know, we survey our folks every couple of months and say, what are your biggest challenges and build around that.
Now, how do you work with the other kind of ACGs around the country? Or do you work together in terms of, hey, it seems like there's a cluster here in Georgia that are in fintech or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we have kind of superpowers here in Georgia.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And do you help kind of make those kind of connections?
So we do. We also both between industries. So, you know, obviously fintech is big. all of the, and that's a much broader, much broader piece than, you know, what do you just define as fintech? And so many different places, the healthcare, you know, the healthcare tech space is huge here. We've seen a lot of manufacturing coming back as well and choosing Georgia to as a place to do business. But we do connect with our other ACG chapters and really, you know, look at how can we do programming together. There is a, from a ACG perspective, there's an ag tech, so agricultural, you know, technologies that's hosted in Raleigh every year because they have a big ag tech space. There's a defense and aerospace contracting event in DC that we send some folks to as well. Kind of with a cyber unit out in Augusta and some other pieces.
Right. Where, so, like, if you're Atlanta centric, you may not remember that Georgia has a pretty extensive agricultural component to the state.
Georgia is a much bigger state than Atlanta that people don't realize for many reasons. But yeah, so that's where we look at it. While we are ACG Atlanta, we do look at it from a state perspective as we are the only chapter here in the state.
Now, are you doing kind of research and collecting data regarding kind of what's happening here, so, or does that just happen organically?
Actually, yeah, we ACG acquired a company out of, I want to say, Pennsylvania or Connecticut called GF Data. So they are actually a blind service. So you submit your deal based on NAICS code. So it's completely aggregated, which we can pull. We pull a bunch of data from them and they share that with us. Now, granted, it's not drilled down, and because it's completely anonymous, they don't drill down to where the deal takes place. We're working on trying to figure out if there's a way to kind of get around that to make some regional, you know, look at things from a regional or local perspective by NAICS code versus specific deal.
Is that something the members are kind of asking
members
for?
Do have access to that, as well as, you know, from our investment banking partners and private equity folks and companies. It's a really great way to submit data with it being anonymous, unlike some of the other, you know, there's some regulatory issues around PitchBook and some other sources from the private equity fund where this is not considered marketing because it's completely anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So yeah. We talked about sort of like reflecting on trends in the last 10 years, but what do you see is coming down the pike?
Depends on what happens in November. I mean, I think, as I'm sure most of your guests probably are like, oh, well, we're just kind of in a holding pattern. We are seeing, at least from what I'm hearing from our members and folks, deal activity is picking up. I think that a lot of folks will try and there's still a ton of dry powder and money out there to deploy. Folks are holding on to it a little bit tighter than they have in the past, but it's been interesting to see how that's going. I think, again, going with what is the Fed going to do with interest rates, it does make a bank dollar a little bit more expensive than other dollars. So we're seeing a lot more alternative investments and different strategies. It's been fun to watch the creativity of deals and how people are getting deals done in that vein.
Now, what are you seeing from the return to office standpoint?
It's a mixed bag. It really, I mean, you know, for us, we're fully remote and we will continue to be fully remote. We have a mailbox and a storage unit because it makes it nice, and we have great members and, you know, firms that allow us to use office space. So for us, the dollar doesn't quite make sense to spend there. It's a mixed bag from the return to office. I think most people are probably going to be, you know, most days in the office. You know, with Georgia being one of the first states to open, we had a lot of folks that went back immediately that weren't really, you know, it's a small enough office and there are enough doors and safety mechanisms that they were like, you know what, we're going to go work from the office anyway on those pieces. So.
Now, what about the commercial real estate component to the, I would imagine, your sponsors and other folks that are part of the ecosystem?
We have a little bit. Our commercial real estate folks, we do work with a few different firms. But they're, you know, they're kind of hearing the same, you know, they're hearing the same thing, but it is picking up, you know, for them, it's picking up as well as far as space being, you know, people looking for more space.
Yeah.
In the return office. Yeah.
So tell us about Fast 40.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is it for our listeners who may not be familiar? And it's coming up soon.
Right? It is coming up in June. We just finished our application process, closed at the end of March. We honor the 40 fastest growing middle market companies in the state of Georgia. So it's based on, you have to be headquartered in the state. You can be private equity backed, but your equity firm doesn't have to be here, but your headquarters has to be here in Georgia. You have to have between $15 million and $1 billion in revenue in the most current year. So for that would have been fiscal year 23. And then we just need 6 data points. So we need 3 years of revenue growth and 3 years of headcount growth. And we do a little bit of math, and it's all math-based. There's no application fee. There's no pay-to-play. All of the things are there, and we run the math, and we get, you know, 20 companies in the lower category, 20 companies in the upper category. And then we added the last couple of years a category of $500 million to $1 billion that is a growing category for us, but that also falls under those same categories. And that, so the 15 to 500 million, we get 40 companies, and then the 500 and above, we get usually about 6 to 8. And it's a lot of them are alumni that have kind of grown out of the process and are still in the middle market. But yeah, so we get 100, 120 applications. We narrow it down via math. We actually do go out and interview them. Those interviews will start this week and next week. Just to verify the revenue and headcount growth that they give us. We don't publish any of the numbers. So it's just a really great recognition of growth here in the state. Last year, I think the companies, I have not run the numbers this year. Last year, our 40 companies, you know, contributed over $2 billion in revenue to the state of Georgia.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that it's completely math-based,
right,
as opposed to, like, there's no... there's nothing subjective about
Subjective about, you know, and we've had people call us in the, you know, so we've been doing this will be our 16th awards, technically 17 years. We did take 2020 off. It wasn't appropriate to celebrate 2019 growth in April, you know, in June, and try and talk to a CEO in April of 2020 to figure out, oh, you did really well last year. What, you know, what can we,
how's it going?
How's it going? Right. Like, let me not take 45 minutes of your time to do that. But you know, it's been a couple of things. One, it's been great. All of the companies that we have are definitely great companies that are headquartered here and have really great news. And then the other piece is also watching the industry, again, going back to industries, and I should have brought that list with me and I totally forgot. How cyclical the growth trajectory of specific industries are. You know, we're always going to get the tech companies. We're always going to get, you know, a little bit of manufacturing. But it's really fun to watch, you know, obviously post COVID, we had a bunch of really great construction companies because people were doing, you know, home renovations and all of the things. It was just really on trend with what was going on nationally.
Now, looking back through those 16 years, is there kind of leading indicators? Like, are you noticing like, oh, we have a cluster here, so that might be a trend moving forward?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that you always get the firms that are going to apply no matter what.
Right.
And again, it is kind of word of mouth. We don't necessarily advertise it, but we have enough of inroads and that we can, you know, go out into, you know, chambers and other sort of things and say, hey, who are your members that should be involved in this? There are probably a few. I'm not sure that we've ever actually looked forward looking at the trending indicators. More back than
right.
Forward.
But I would wonder, you know, those smaller ones, are those emerging industries?
Probably, you know? Yes. I mean, I think that, you know, you have, you know,
if there's one,
the
that might
years.
Not be,
yeah.
But if there's three, all of a sudden,
right,
you're like, wow, this is
right.
There's more than, you know, where these come
and
from.
And it also is, and it's something to look at, and we haven't in a greater ACG world is, should we take those industries and look at it from an ACG perspective as a
right.
growth perspective? Just because we're focused here does not mean that it's not necessarily growing in the industry or in the region.
Now, do you have any learnings from what makes a growing company? Are there certain things that you've kind of gleaned, like, oh, you know what, these all have this in common, or like, were there some foundational elements, or is it just kind of the usual suspects? You know, I need talent,
I think,
need a culture,
good leadership. Obviously, looking at
looking at your C-suites and your leadership, you know, we've had folks that have made the list that grew a business in a basement and just, you know, I'm going to call it the HP in the garage, you know, the HP right. in the garage, and we're going to go interview this person. Two serial entrepreneurs that have come in, and this is not necessarily the first time that they've made the list. I do think that leadership probably, and leadership at the top is probably the best indicator of if you're going to continue to grow. And building that team around you from a talent perspective and bringing your folks along for the ride on those pieces.
Yeah. I mean, you can't underestimate the crucial importance of leadership. It can make or break.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also seeing, you know, there was a company here one of the like dock in a box type places that obviously during COVID they were the first ones to figure out how do we do these mass testing facilities. And so therefore we're going to, you know, have significant growth. Now, the past couple of years, they've kind of pivoted and figured out what they're going to do, but it's, you know, still in a really great, great position. To be in. They're just not necessarily growing. They're just still, you know, but they're still a great middle market company right. here in town.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, right. That's an example of like taking advantage of.
You take advantage of circumstances and for better or for worse, you know, looking at the landscape you have, you know, that just broke, I guess, this week that Prize Picks, which is another Fast 40 alumni, is just taking on again, another, I think they're building a 33,000 square foot space in the Star Metals building. And bringing on another 1,000 employees because of the growth of the esports game and you know, game betting and all of that.
And so. Prize Picks is a UGA alum company.
It is a
right?
UGA alum company as well. It is a UGA alum company, but.
And yeah. Tech Village, right?
They started in Tech Village. I think they started in Tech Village. Do not quote me on that. I don't need them coming after me, but they're a Fast 40 alum as well. But I read about that last week. So. Yeah.
It's very cool. It must be like feel great to see some of these companies that have given this, you know,
absolutely.
Honor and then continue to
they continue success. To grow. And then it's also, you know, there are some folks, you know, that are no longer eligible because they get acquired by somebody else and they're no longer technically their company headquarters is here, but they're no longer really headquartered here. The favorite phone call that I ever got was, I think, a CEO called me and said, well, why didn't we make the list this year? And I was like, well, you're the 43rd fastest growing company. I don't know what to, you know, it's all math based. I don't know what to tell you. Congratulations on your success, but, which is fun. It's fun to watch, you know, the alumni and where they go and what they do. And are all of them great stories? No, you know, there are a couple that have, you know, folded or, you know, things have happened, but, yeah, it's, the majority of them are good.
Someone's got to be that 41st.
Company. Exactly. Yeah. And I could get a lot more CEOs in the room if I had dealt with slow growing companies versus right, fast exactly. growing companies.
Now, you said that right now is the time when you're looking for the people to apply.
We just finished our application
process.
So
it's too late now.
It is too late to apply for this year. But we do open that process again in the fall for mm-hmm. for the Fast 40. Which is our second largest event behind M&A South, which is our big conference in February, where we'll have, you know, 200 private equity firms in town. Atlanta's a really nice place to be in February when you live in New York
exactly.
or New York or Boston or Chicago. Right. The folks that have moved to Miami, not as much. But so that's our site that, you know, Fast 40 is. And to me, it's the most mission driven event that we do.
Sure.
We do celebrate those companies in June. And then we will make the announcement May 7th. We typically do that via email. This year, we'll do it in person at our Spring Summit event. So that's also a time to come and meet those folks. If you are a company, you know, again, a company, please feel free to check us out and find us and get involved before the application process.
What's the website?
It's acg.org/Atlanta.
I have a funny story quickly yeah. about M&A South. So one of my mm-hmm. clients attended and it was his first time going and he didn't really know what to expect. And so he booked himself mm-hmm. and it's like, it runs like 20 minute meetings. He had like 20, I mean, he was like, he completely overbooked himself. And the next week we had met and he's like, I needed like 2-3 days to recover from that because it was like he had like 50 meetings in a day and a half. It was bananas. It is,
we'll have some equity firm, you know, some equity firms and investment banking firms that between their team will have 200 meetings over, you
it's
know,
like a day and a half.
Monday
isn't it?
Yeah, it's Monday afternoon to Tuesday, maybe some on Wednesday. Wednesday's kind of light, but it is, yeah. And then we do offer some content. What we did this year, instead of doing full hour-long panels, now we did do a couple of hour-long panels as well, but we added some micro-learning sessions just in 20 minutes so that somebody could block out 20 or 40 minutes and be like, I don't want to talk about myself. Let me go learn about AI or some other things affecting our industry, some healthcare, right, you know, healthcare costs, things that folks need to know, which was really fun to watch that this year as well.
Do you offer some coaching for those firms to get the most out of that experience?
We do not, but we probably should. So we do a couple of preview events. We do a preview event. So we did a preview event in January this year. There was a deal story with Scott Devaney of Chicken Salad Chick and their acquisition of Piece of Cake because it was a really good Atlanta homegrown story. Mm-hmm. And so we did that as a kind of opening networking, come meet some folks that you'll see again. Mm-hmm. But we probably should do, you know, we always kind of communicate, here's how to best get, you know,
get the most out of it.
You know, one, register early. That's how you get the most out of it is registering early so that you're in there before, you know, when the app, you know, the application opens to schedule meetings.
How many people attend that?
This year we had over 1,200.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
We had 1,200, which in the past we've said we've had 1,200, but we were really pushing about 1,300 this year. And trying to figure out at Avalon, who's a great partner of ours, how we don't outgrow the space.
Yeah.
A testament to the market here, right?
It's absolutely a testament to the market. It is a big number. And it's also from the ACG perspective, it's the first kind of major conference out of the calendar year. So folks will come in to fill their funnel, to hear what's going on. What are trends? What are people seeing for the year coming down the pike?
And this is a human being. So this isn't a hypothetical, like this is like,
right,
you're yeah. seeing 1200
We're
human
seeing
beings here.
1200, right. There are 1200 human beings right. there. And the great part about Avalon is that folks can walk to lunch and have a meeting or do, right. you know, there's some just really great space out there to be able to facilitate that.
Yeah. And it's always the very beginning
of
February.
It's the first week of February. Yeah. So I guess it's the 3rd through 5th next year. We used to be the week after the Super Bowl. Now we're in the week before the Super Bowl.
But it's great timing wise with the calendar because mm-hmm. it's like you've sort of gotten through the first month of the quarter.
Exactly.
And now.
Exactly.
It's game on.
Yeah, it's game on. Right. It's game on. It's so funny the number of people that come back. You know, we open registration in the middle of August, September, somewhere in there. January 1st, people are like, oh, I need to register.
It's like too late.
You can, but I don't have any tables. So, you know, this
exactly.
year, you know, this year we sold out of all of our exhibitor tables the middle of December. Which has never happened. At least in the 10 years I've been here, our hotel rooms were sold, like everything, which was great. So we'll see what that trend continues at. And we're looking to add more tables. We added some more tables and sold those out. So it's, you know, all in the good problems to have category.
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
all of it, right. It's all of the good problems to have category for that. So.
And that's why Georgia is one of these growing states. It's like you just don't see an end to it. I mean, it's crazy.
It's right. I mean, you look at it, it's and it's continuing to grow. Are there a ton of folks that from a private equity perspective, are there a ton of folks seated here and people, not a ton, but there's a ton of investment and folks that are coming in and investing in the South and in Georgia in specific and the Southeast that is just, it's fun to watch. And I'm not making any prognostications, but like, I don't see it ending anytime soon.
It's just Georgia. So the economy is so diverse. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just when one thing's down, there's something else up invariably.
Exactly.
It just, people don't realize how diverse the economy is in Georgia.
Absolutely. Which is what, you know, yeah.
It's awesome. Great.
Yeah. So one more time, the website, if people want to connect.
It is. Yeah. www.acg.org/Atlanta. And we're on LinkedIn and all the social medias. So,
speaking of LinkedIn,
yeah, what a great transition!
God, I'm so
Man,
good at
that
this.
Is great.
You'd have thought I'd done this before.
So I I actually put up a post this week with this great tactical tip that I got from somebody else. So there's a gentleman named David Fisher. He actually runs a social selling program for SAS. They have an internal social selling team, which is awesome to see. I love seeing companies investing in like a real social selling program. But his tip that he shared, which I reposted, is that he takes a stack of 10 pennies and puts those on his desk. And that is for every every time he drops a comment, he moves one of those pennies over. So it's like a good way of a visual cue of activity on LinkedIn. So you could do that again for comments, like, okay, I want to share 5 comments on posts, or you could do it for DMs, outreach. But I love the visual cue of having something because, and I do this for myself, I'm like, I really need to comment more. And then you get busy and you don't do it. So when you see something, and it could be paper clips or whatever, it shows you, did I actually do it? So that
is
was
that
a
weekly? Is that
tip.
Weekly or is that?
Well, he does it every single day.
Is a day. Wow.
So I'm not saying you need to for him. Do 10 comments a day, but maybe you can do 3 comments a day or 3 DMs a day or something, you know, start small and build up. But having that visual cue, I think, is an awesome tip. I loved it.
And then from a standpoint of activity on LinkedIn, is commenting better than like liking or
yes.
like how would you kind of rank order? What is the activity?
Commenting is always better because you can share your perspective on things. So not a thanks or good post or cool, but actually engage with what the person is talking about in a meaningful way because it's a win-win. It helps the author's content obviously get more seen in the newsfeed, but it also helps you because sometimes you'll see in your newsfeed, you know, Gloria commented on blah, blah, blah's post. So you show up in the newsfeed, but it also helps build that rapport with the person posting content.
Is it also true that you should use more than 3 words?
Yeah, I mean.
That's what I hear, like from a perspective of.
Yeah, I mean, the better, you know, the more in-depth you can go, the better. I like to ask a question but comment first and then you can react. It's a better order of operations.
Good stuff. Well, yeah. Gloria, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you guys for having us.
Yep, awesome. You're doing such important work and we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me again.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Rachel Simon. We'll see you all next time on Sandy Springs Business Radio.